Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Derek Bruff, an assistant director at the Center for Teaching. This episode continues our podcast series focusing on time-efficient teaching. Faculty at a research university like Vanderbilt must balance a number of competing demands on their time, including teaching, research, and service. For this series, we're interviewing senior faculty members at Vanderbilt and asking them to share ways they teach effectively while making good use of their time. In this episode, we feature an interview with Brooke Ackerley, Associate Professor of Political Science. In the interview, Brooke describes time-efficient ways to approach course planning, lesson planning, office hours, and grading. My colleague Kat Baker, also an assistant director at the Center for Teaching, conducted the interview.
Brooke, what are some techniques you find helpful for teaching effectively in a time-efficient manner?
Great question. So I guess I could answer that on a daily basis and then on a semester or even years planning.
Great.
Way. So on a daily basis, I have a little black bag. It's actually not that little. Here it is. And in that bag, I have chalk. I have my Expo whiteboard markers. I have my PowerPoint. I have this little thing with a USB drive that also is a clicker. A clicker works in about half the classrooms. And then my folders with my lecture notes. And those are always in there. And so if somebody comes to talk to me 10 minutes before class, no problem, because my bag has everything I want in it. And the only thing I sometimes leave in my office is my keys. So that's my way of, frankly, it lets me arrive at any classroom and be able to be effective. It lets me go give a talk in some other classroom and know that I have basically everything I need. And it lets me be nice. When somebody interrupts me before class, I don't have to wonder if I'm going to be leaving something in my office other than my keys, I often do. Instead, I know I'm going to make it with everything I need in class. So that's my sort of big, or my daily thing. Then with regard to how I organize my teaching over the year. So at Vanderbilt, we're asked in the spring what we're planning on teaching the next year. And once that schedule is confirmed, I plan my courses, any new material that I might integrate, anything else I want to have. Even if I don't actually write the lectures over the summer, and I hardly ever do, I assemble the material that I'm going to want so that if I ever do have to write a lecture on a short amount of time, what I'm doing is writing the lecture. I'm not actually researching the material that I'm going to need for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then some ideas in the middle. So I think we have this idea that the more time I spend on something, the better it must be. And I think it's probably generally true. The more time you invest in something, the better it is. But just as with research, it's not any old time. You need to give it your best time. And I think with regard to teaching, it's more important to organize your lecture around a good idea than it is to organize it around how long the class is going to be or what you have read. I mean, all that stuff obviously, those are the boundaries of what's going to happen in a given lecture. But pedagogically, it's better to organize the class around a good idea. And frankly, if I understand the time that I'm about to invest in planning a class as being devoted to conveying a good idea, then whether it takes a long time or a short time is irrelevant. So if it ends up taking a short time, I don't think, oh, well, I must not have worked hard enough on this lecture. If it was around a good idea, then it's probably going to be an effective lecture. And by good idea, that obviously varies by content. But by good idea, I would mean, this will help them get the concept. And so sometimes my good idea will be a student will mention a program that they watch, and I will TiVo the programs that my students watch. And if ever I come across the content in those shows, I don't watch all of their shows slowly. You can always TiVo, you can watch fast. but if I come across content in a show that somebody has mentioned that they're watching, and it looks like it'll work for the class, then I might bring that in. And that might be the good idea. Or in another class, I'm using blogs. The students share their ideas with each other on a blog, and I watch that material and sometimes that will either be able to use in the next day's lecture, or often they don't know it, but they're foreshadowing something that's going to happen 3 weeks later. And when that happens, I can say, oh, do you remember that I mentioned that thing about that thing? Well, look, here it's happening again. So if I organize a class around a good idea, then I don't feel guilty if it ends up that I can write the lecture fairly quickly, and I don't feel like what is important in my getting ready for class is how much time I spend. What's important is that it's well conceived. Mm-hmm. Another little trick on that score is within a given week, students think about their courses in weeks. So I think they're doing most of their reading over the weekend or at the beginning of the part of the week for the whole week, and that once their class is passed, they're going to think about that class for the next week. So I try to have my office hours during this. So my class meets Monday and Wednesday, and I have office hours on Monday and Tuesday because I want my office hours to be where people are talking about what's happening in class now, so mm-hmm. that I can know that they have questions about the reading because they came to my office hours, and I can answer them still in the next lecture. Whereas if I lecture Monday, Wednesday, and they bring me their questions on Thursday in an office hours, well, it's too late. We've gone on and talked about something else. Why not let me get it clear when they've done the reading but we haven't had lecture? Then I can draw on their questions and incorporate that in. That ends up actually being time efficient in a couple of ways. One, it helps me have written a lecture around a good idea, right? An idea that I know the students need answered. And it also lets me be efficient over the course of the semester. So students aren't moving us to material that we are supposed to have already covered by raising questions a week afterward on the material. This way they raise it as we're happening and we keep moving along, and I know if I'm mm-hmm. I don't drop them, right? If I'm about to drop them, then I know that that's happening because we've had the office hours mm-hmm. While we're still talking about that material.
That's an excellent suggestion. Yeah. That's a form of formative assessment, so you can keep up with what they're getting and what they're not.
Right. And it ends up being personally efficient in another way, in that it's clear to me that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are completely devoted to teaching. Mm-hmm. I don't have some delusion that I'm going to be able to squeeze in something. No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, completely. And I try to, because that, I'm predictable, so people know when they can find me, even if it's not efficiently my office hours. So it actually ends up being one of your efficiency things, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I really like to think of ways of working that don't trade off research and teaching, but rather that allow me to, what was your jargon for it?
Formative assessment.
Formative assessment, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Use the same tools that I would use on a research project in my teaching.
Right.
So why is this problem hard to get through? Oh, I see why. Well, let me explain how mm-hmm. we should get through it. That mm-hmm. same skill set is what I would use in a research project Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm using it for teaching.
Right. Yeah. Are there other ways that you connect your research skills to your teaching that help you be time efficient?
When I mentioned that I try to plan my teaching sort of a year in advance, uh-huh. Then over that time, it's not that I commit one day, 6 months in the case of the fall and 9 months in the case of the spring, to designing the class. It's that I know basically what I want to have happen. And then over the course of that time, before the semester gets going, I accumulate the materials that I'm going to want to draw on. So, for example, last spring, Angela Davis came to Vanderbilt, and I took her class, and it was amazing. It was fabulous. And in that class, we read an article that I thought, oh, wow, the way that this does freedom, democracy, and equality, I'm going to use it in my research, but I wonder if I could do it with 103 students. I wonder if I could do it with the introduction to political theory. And this was an advanced article in a law journal, but I thought it was just brilliant. And because I came across this in my research and months before, well, I came across it in the class, but I was thinking about it because it was my research, because I came across it months before I was actually going to use it in class, if I decided to use it, I had plenty of time. I asked a undergraduate to read the article and talk with me about it. I thought about how to signal in the early part of the semester the key ideas that students were going to need in order to be able to process that article. And so when it came time to teach it, I felt like I had designed something that would enable it to happen. Mm-hmm. So interestingly enough, something that I do in order to be efficient, I think also makes me a better teacher. It lets me plan using the best part of my brain when it's got that idea, you know, when the good idea comes.
Right, right. Do you have any tips for being time efficient during grading?
I have one tip, but this is a bad person to ask today because I've just done a lot of grading and I did it all very slowly. But my tip is that I figure out what I, and actually I don't know if it's a tip that makes me be time efficient, it lets me be fair. And it, I think, also results in my being time efficient. So here's my idea. It tends to be that the really bad papers end up getting more feedback than the really good papers because you're constantly sparked with something that you need to respond to with a paper that's written by a student who's struggling. And the great papers, you might click along and say, yes, nice job, great. And at the end, all you can do is say, wow, that was great, thanks. So what I do is I have this rubric that reminds me of what I need to say. So I need to say you had a good thesis, if you did. If you didn't, I need to help you recognize what one is. I need to comment on how you've organized your argument. And so anyway, I have about 6 or 10 of these things, depending on what the assignment was, and I write them out, and then I make sure that I have commented on each of those things for every person's paper. And I do find that lets me be a little more efficient in grading in that if it is clear that this person has trouble writing at the sentence level, then I can just say, you have trouble writing at the sentence level. And I can correct one paragraph very carefully and then just try to read the rest of it and not torture the poor person with a line-by-line subject verb agreement sort of thing. So, yeah, and I do find that that grading rubric, one, makes me responsive to papers of disparate quality, and two, reminds me of making sure that I mention all of the things that I want to acknowledge. So if somebody's done a great job, I'd like them to know why it was great. Right. And hopefully then if they're passing around those great papers, as apparently they do, then they'll get not just the good job, but they'll also know why this was great, and maybe that information will flow as well.
That was Brooke Ackerley, Associate Professor of Political Science, on the topic of time-efficient teaching. I would like to thank Brooke for taking time to speak with the Center for Teaching. In the show notes for this episode, you'll find links to Brooke Ackerley's homepage, as well as links to Center for Teaching resources on course design and grading. If you have any comments or questions about this episode, please visit our blog, located at blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast, and let us know your thoughts. We're interested in hearing your strategies for effective yet time-efficient teaching. Vanderbilt instructors interested in discussing any aspect of their teaching are invited to call the Center for Teaching at 615-322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant. We're glad to help you reflect on and explore the various choices you make as a teacher and to connect you with resources you'll find useful as you design, implement, and assess learning experiences for your students. I've been your host, Derek Bruff. Thanks for listening.